late.
And then I use the gavel, right?
You do.
I am calling to order the Housing and Human Services for May 6, 2015. So, oh, now I gavel. Yeah, it says that right there. Okay. So I'm going to open the public hearing on Senate Bill 659A. Can we have a summary of the bill, please?
Oh, yes. As I was very busily.
I think you're consistent with your testimony to Vice Chair, isn't you?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 659A directs Department of Human Services to assist families with a child who qualifies for home and community-based assistance in their state of residence, but also spends at least 6 weeks a year with a parent who resides in Oregon. By sharing lists of community providers, contacting Medicaid in the state's in the child's state of residence, and providing documentation. This bill was sent over to us from the Senate side with unanimous consent. There is no revenue impact, and a fiscal statement has been issued.
Okay. Senator Gelser, welcome.
Thank you, Vice Chair Peluso, members of the committee. For your record, my name is Sarah Gelser. I'm the state senator from Senate District 8, which includes Albany and Corvallis and the surrounding towns and unincorporated areas as well. As Representative Gallegos mentioned, I have yet this session to come to a House committee that the chair has attended, and I don't know if I should take that personally or not, but it's wonderful to see you again, Representative Peluso, and I got to see you in the prior committee, so I apologize if I'm overstaying my welcome. Senate Bill 659 comes to you from the Committee on Human Services and Early Childhood, but the idea from this bill came from a dinner time conversation with a friend of mine that lives in another state. He is the parent of a child with significant disabilities that requires a lot of one-to-one care and support, but he is divorced from the boy's mother, and the mother then moved to another state. And I was curious how that worked. I hadn't really thought about that before. How do you maintain that connection with your child when they live in another state and you've got Medicaid across state lines? How do you still have that in-home support that you might need to keep the child safe? And I began to realize that if there isn't a clear and easy mechanism for that, we could actually threaten the ongoing relationships of parents and children simply because of that need to access in-home care. So I asked a lot of questions about this, and it was a question that many people had, and most people agree that we should do everything that we can to support parent-child relationships. So I'm extremely grateful to the Department of Human Services, and particularly to Lilia Tenenti, who really worked a lot on this to get the language right. But once you are eligible for Medicaid, obviously that's a federal program. If you get sick while you're traveling and you're on Medicaid, you can receive medical care, regardless of the state that you are in. You're allowed to get sick or injured in a state that has not determined you eligible for Medicaid and have your other state's Medicaid pay for that. The same is actually true in this case. If you are receiving home and community-based services under Medicaid, you are eligible for those services in the other state. And the way that that mechanism works is that the parent that would live in Oregon, for instance, so say the child is coming to visit in Oregon, they would contract with the providers, and then we would bill the other state's Medicaid, and the services are provided. This really is a very important bill. It's so important that we maintain natural supports for individuals with significant disabilities. It's incredibly important that we maintain the relationships between parents and children in general. What this bill does, and the reason it doesn't have a fiscal impact, is that it doesn't cost us money. It's not our state plan that's paying for it, but it raises this issue at that county level and ensures that families can go to the counties, that the counties do have access to information about how to do this, and that we do process those claims. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but in the end, this is a good bill that will keep families together, that will ensure that when there is a divorce in a family, that both parents can maintain close contact with that child with significant disabilities, and very grateful to my friend Ron for the very good idea.
Excellent. Any questions from the committee? Representative Stark.
Thank you, Chair. Are there other states that currently do this?
Vice Chair Peluso, Vice Chair Stark. Yes, this currently works this way for my friend. So he is receiving services. The child receives services when he visits his dad, even though the child's permanent residence isn't the same state as his father's.
Okay. So other states are doing this, and we're just lagging behind.
Correct. And we could do this, and we went back and forth about whether we needed the bill or not, but it's not an issue that's very well understood. This will kind of create that process and trigger it and make it clear that that a family can go and talk to their county case manager and figure out how to make this work.
Great. Anything else? Okay. Well, any questions from our massive audience today? Okay, never mind. All right. Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you.
And I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 659. And we'll open the work session on hearing Senate Bill 225A. Robin, can we have a summary of the bill, please?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 225A, you may recall, we heard at our last meeting. Is that true? It is. So it allows the Department of Human Services and the Oregon Health Authority to notify benefit recipients of suspension and of suspensions and closures of the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, also known as WIC, through the news media, information at sites recipients, frequent and general mailings to recipient household, and declares emergency effective on passage. There is no revenue impact, there is no fiscal impact, and no subsequent referral.
Okay. Hello, committee. Do we have anyone to testify?
No, this is a work session.
Oh, okay.
225A. No, it's totally fine.
Go ahead. So, Chair Kenny Geyer, I move Senate Bill 225A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Pluso moves Senate Bill 225A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? All right. Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll, please.
Rep. Evan.
Excused.
Rep. Euler.
Yes.
Rep. Gallegos?
Aye.
Rep. Hayden?
Excused.
Rep. Parrish?
Excused.
Rep. Taylor?
Aye.
Vice Chair Stark?
Yes.
Vice Chair Pelusa?
Aye.
Chair
Kingard? Aye. The motion carries.
I need to have it carried.
Yep.
For this.
Who would like to carry this?
Sure.
Okay. Representative Taylor. Okay. Thank you. I close the work session on Senate Bill 225A and open a work session on Senate Bill 616A. Robin, could you please give a summary of the bill?
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 616A directs the Secretary of the State to investigate community housing trust with coordination from the Department of Human Services, outlines focus of investigation, requires development of investment strategy, and reports to the Legislative Assembly by February 1st, 2016, it declares emergency effective on passage. You'll recall that we heard this this bill in 427. It has no revenue impact, and there is a fiscal impact statement that has been issued, and it's a minimal expenditure impact, which may not be miniature at all. So, full-size piece of paper. So that's what we have.
Great. Okay.
Chair Kenny Geyer, I move Senate Bill 616A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Stark, we move Senate Bill 616A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Thank you, Chair. While you were out, Senator Gelser was saying that she had yet to have an opportunity to address you in this committee. I didn't know if she would like to take the opportunity now since this was her bill and you are here.
We would welcome it if you would like the opportunity to come up. Would you like to come on the record and say anything about this? We would like to at least thank you for your work on this.
Chair Kenny Geyer, members of the committee, hello. Oh, hi. For the record, my name is Sarah Gelser. I'm the state senator from Senate District 8. I've been following Representative Peluso around today and Representative Gallegos. It's nice to see you. Thank you for scheduling a hearing on this bill. It is very important, and I think you heard some pretty compelling testimony from some of the best advocates in the building, and I really want to compliment individuals with intellectual disabilities who have really stepped up their game this session in terms of advocacy, and from beginning to end, from the request to the thank you, I think people telling their own stories is the way it should be done, and I'm just really grateful to them for laying out the case of why the Fairview Housing Trust is such an important and symbolic fund. So thank you.
Thank you for your work on that. And please stay for now, because Representative Bueller wanted to at least make a comment, maybe ask a question. So
just make a point. One, I thank you for identifying this important issue. It's just kind of heart-wrenching what's happened to that fund and so wrong in so many ways. I just want to bring to the committee's attention that I think the legislature has lost some important tools, and one is an independent audit function. And I'm going to vote for this and it's supportive, but I think we should really at some point discuss our own ability to have a legislative audit function. Representative Taylor may differ from me in this or may agree, I'm not sure. But lots of legislatures have their own independent audit capability, and I think it starts to set a difficult precedence if we burden the Secretary of State's office with too many audits and it's all our agenda. I think that office also has many important auditing functions that they need that capability for other things. So I'd encourage us maybe in the interim to start discussing it, maybe with your caucus, with our caucus, and we have the expertise now in the legislature. But I think for too long we've cut the not only the audit capability, but also just the independent policy analysis capability of the legislature. We've been really penny wise and pound foolish in now we have a situation where the executive branch has a lot more tools than the legislative branch, and I think we need to reestablish that.
Do you have any comments, Representative Taylor?
Thank you, Chair Kenny-Geyer. I actually agree with Representative Bueller, and that conversation's gone on for quite some time, and that we should be having an audit division of a certain type. Of course, it can't be the same as what the Secretary of State does, because it would have to be a different function, but something like that, and having an independent review. I don't want to. I'm trying to think of the different folks that we have in office now, but there have been people who have talked about it over time. I think it's always been a function of resources. But I personally would be all for it, because we don't have enough of the facts at hand at the moment things are happening at times. Mm-hmm. And it would be nice to have an independent review and to have the information in front of us. So I think it's a great idea. And I thank you so much for doing this. And I was very moved the other day by the testimony. And it was absolutely, so thank you for doing that. And hopefully we'll get the money back in there. So
yeah.
And if I may, Madam Chair,
yes.
That I just felt so honored to be in the room. They did that. And mm-hmm. I am, Leslie Sutton is in the room, the Council on Developmental Disabilities, and has really supported people to kind of find their voice and lift that up. I really think that the way that advocacy has happened in this session through individuals advocating for themselves has really set a new bar, not just in Oregon, but across the country. And Leslie is really to be commended for that, and Ross and all the others that have been coming. And I hope it's just the beginning and it's not a unique thing anymore. They do a far better job than I can. Too often I try to tell the story. It's not my story to tell. It's theirs.
That's wonderful. And if any of you wondered why I was calling on Representative Taylor, it's because she has been a state auditor. So
management auditor.
Yeah. Yes. Management auditor. So, okay. Great. If there are no more discussion, Clerk, could you please call the roll? Excused?
Chair Bueller?
Yes.
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 Excused?
Taylor?
Aye.
Vice Chair Clark?
Yes.
Vice Chair
Pelosi? Aye. Aye. The motion passes. And Representative Stark, would you be the curator,
please? I would
please?
Be honored.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Close the work session on Senate Bill 616A. And yes.
What?
Would you like to ask to suspend the rules so that Representative...
Oh, yes.
Chair Kenny-Geyer, I ask that we suspend the rules so that Representative Hayden can vote on Senate Bill 225A.
Are there any objections?
That's what I thought, I guess. John?
Seeing none, Representative Hayden, how do you vote on Senate Bill 225A? Okay, that motion carries. Do you like to do it again?
Oh, he voted on
that one. I'm sorry. Okay, great. And you want to vote on it again?
Well, I thought it was.
Okay, great.
Did you want to do 616?
So, yeah. Did you miss the vote on
I missed the vote on 616. Not
oh, you did?
Yeah.
That was the more recent one on the Fairview.
You voted for 616.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, we're good. We're good. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Pardon me, Madam Chair. Let's double check with the clerk. Okay, thanks.
Okay, just a couple announcements. One is just to clarify that what we're trying to do, there were probably about 30 bills that came out of Human Services. Some of those, a good third at least, went to Ways and Means.
On the Senate side.
On the Senate side, they're going to the Joint Ways and Means. Some of them are still yet to be passed on the floor, and at the point that they do get passed, you know, we'll probably get about a third of those, or maybe more, 10 to 12 total. We've had a few trickle through. And some will go to other committees. So, you know, what we're planning on doing is hearing bills, and even though we could, some of them seem very, they've been worked over, there's no opposition, we could work them the same day. My feeling is that we're not crunched for time, and so we'll hear them one day and work them the next, just because this is the last opportunity for people to weigh in if all of a sudden they hear it. So we will be... here, we will probably be working the one that we just heard in the public hearing today, 659, coming up very shortly. We will try to keep all of our Fridays no meeting, but do hold the very last one where it's the chamber deadline where it has to pass out of our committee. If you can remind us what date that is. Mm-hmm. We don't think we're going to need it, but just so that you don't plan on having all your Fridays away.
Standing room only.
It's June the 5th.
June 5th. And the following 12th, just to let you know, we've had some questions about some of the big DHS cases that have been in the news that were taken to court. And Representative Stark and I are planning on meeting with some of the jurors who I had met with earlier in the session with Michael Dembro to hear their story about the case that was settled with a $4 million lawsuit in December. Our intention is to have it them feel very free to say what they really feel with Aaron Kelly Seal and Lois Day there. I'd love to know if anyone else is interested. That's going to be in Portland, 4 to 4:30, and we're ideally we'll keep it under a quorum and not have a formal thing. So that would mean four people. So Representative Buehler.
What was the date on that again?
It's June 12th, and we're looking at 4:30 to 6. We were hoping that there wouldn't be a health care committee meeting because then maybe we could move it up, but apparently there is a health care committee meeting that day, so we probably can't move it up much earlier than 4:30.
And June 12th is a Friday.
June 12th is a Friday in Portland because there's all the jurors live up in Portland.
I'm a strong maybe.
Okay, great. And so, yeah, so you can pretty much feel that your Fridays are free other than June 5th. And then that's a general approach. We are going to try to do some field trips once we get through our bills. So starting in late May, we have field trips to OIA, to McLaren Detention Center, migrant housing, and some Marion County IDD housing. Is there anything else?
Potentially. I need to discuss the June 15th date.
Okay. So we've got a few. We've got some informational hearings that are coming up. It'll be light, but it'll continue to, as a new committee here, kind of get us up to speed on the variety of issues. If you have any particular burning issues you'd like us to consider for informational hearing, we'll do an early learning hub and a nutrition one as well. So please continue to give us your ideas. The last thing I want to say is today is Ty's last day. I didn't even know that till just now. We are very sorry to lose you, but will you let us know where are you going next?
I'm going to Oregon Housing and Community Services
just down the street. Okay. Okay. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We will miss you. Thank you for your good service to this committee. Okay, any other announcements? All right, I am closing the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. Not even 3:30.
Oh, no. Nice.
I wouldn't.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Perfect. I appreciate it.
Into it.